NPST Mission Retreat Media presents the gospel, God's power to save all who believe. This was the third message delivered by Reverend Isaiah Assen at the NKST Mission Retreat Camp 2021 on the theme, Shoot the Arrows. May God bless these words on your heart in Jesus' name.
It's you that I see. Shall we pray to God? Our dear Father in heaven, we want to thank you again for yet another opportunity to hear from you, even this evening. Thank you for other segments. Thank you generally for today, right from our corporate devotion to various teachings we received, and all other programs, Lord King of Glory, we want to appreciate you. We want to thank you so much because your presence is here with us. Right on the first day of this meeting, we experience your presence. And you continued with us even up to this night. Father, we return thanks to you. Holy Spirit divine, we beg of you to show us mercy once more. We pray that let heaven be open for us, that your undiluted word will come to us in a manner that we will receive with trembling, in a manner that it will turn our hearts to you, in a manner that it will bring salvation, in a manner that it will bring healing, in a manner that it will set the captives free. Thank you, because we know that you have answered us, because you promised that whatever we ask in the name of your Son Jesus, we will receive it. And so we receive it with thanksgiving, and in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Want to appreciate God for this time. Tonight is the last night of our meeting in this conference, trusting that the Lord God will help us so that all that we're supposed to say from the beginning of this conference and we have not said it, the Lord will release it to us tonight in the name of Jesus. Let's take our Bibles and open quickly to the book of 2 Kings. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 13. Today we start our reading from verse 20. And if we have somebody here who has a message version of the Bible, should please prepare to help me read the book of Luke, chapter 1 and verse 38. 2 Kings, chapter 13. We start our reading from verse 20 to 25. If you are there, I'll read. Second Kings, I'll start from Second Kings. My version is English Standard Version. Verse 20 says, so Elisha died, and they buried him, Now bands of Moabites used to invade the land in the spring of the year. And as a man was being buried, behold, a marauding band was seen, and a man was thrown into the grave of Elisha. And as soon as the man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. Now Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. But the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion on them. And he turned towards them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, nor has he cast them from his presence until now. When Hazael, king of Syria, died, Ben-Hadad, his son, became king in his place. Then Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again from Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities that he had taken from Jehoahaz, his father, in war. Three times Joash defeated him and recovered the cities of Israel. That's where we'll stop. The Lord bless his words in the name of Jesus. Yes, my sister, with the Message Bible. Can you see the message? Sorry, anybody with the Message Bible? Very good. Give my brother there. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38.
It says, and Mary said, yes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. Then the angel left her.
Praise the name of the Lord. For those of you who were not here yesterday, we're discussing on the topic, those who the Lord would use must be people with a burden. It must be people with a burden. We saw that from the lamentation of Joash, King Joash, the king of Israel. When the prophet of God was about to die, he went to him on his dying bed and he cried, my father, my father, my father, the horsemen of Israel, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So from the lamentation, his cry, we discover that Joash turned around the whole of Israel and he saw no one who would stand to defend the people of Israel again. Or rather, he was, by implication, he was saying, this man whom the whole power of God is concentrated in him is living. And there is no man to replace him. And so he cried, what will become of the nation of Israel? And yesterday I asked my brethren whether they have a burden for the kingdom of God. That you cannot shoot the arrow in the camp of God except God had already shot an arrow in your life. You can't do anything for God except the Lord. You have total victory over sin. Today, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, I'm not going to talk much, because from Thursday the Lord laid the background to the shooting of the arrow. And yesterday we looked at those that the Lord will use to shoot the arrow. Today we are only going to look at the accomplishment. We are going to look at the results. Where we have read in 2 Kings chapter 13, beginning from verse 20, and the book of Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. In the two passages, we saw that both Mary and Elisha did the same thing. When an angel of the Lord appears to Mary and told Mary of God's intention, my brother who reads from the Message Bible, reads that place again. I want us to see something, to hear what the Message Bible says, what Mary says.
The Bible said, and Mary said.
And Mary said,
yes, I see it all now.
Yes, I see it all now.
I am the Lord's maid.
I am the Lord's maid.
Ready to serve.
Ready to serve.
Let it be with me just
that's
as
okay.
You
that's
say.
Okay. That's ready to serve. That's just the word I'm looking for. Mary said, I am the Lord's maid. Ready to serve. Ready to serve God. And so if you continue, the Bible said then. Other versions said so. So or then an angel of the Lord left her. Why did the angel of the Lord wait until when Mary said, I am ready to serve? It's because God has found a man. Somebody has responded. And so the angel of the Lord now went to convey the message to God that here is a man who has responded. There is somebody ready to do the job for us. So he left. In 2 Kings, where we've read 13 and verse 20, the Bible says, my version says, so Elisha died. So Elisha died. By implication, the Bible is saying, if only there was no man to respond to the call of God, Elisha would have remained alive. But when King Joash, when he had set strategies for King Joash to shoot arrows in the camp of the enemy and had placed his hands on his hands and told him that this is the arrow of victory, God's arrow of victory, once he's shot in the camp of the enemy, they are completely defeated. And so the Bible, when he had already told him of it and he understood clearly what to do, the Bible says, then he died. The plan had been accomplished, leaving the man to carry on the job. Both angel and Elisha left so that these two people can begin the work in earnest. My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, do you have a burden? It's only those with a burden that can serve the Lord. In 2015, something happened to my life. I had a brother who is also the pastor, Reverend Akon Bashi. He was my prayer and partner, we pray together. And so we were praying and asking the Lord that give us this church where we serve you. And in 2015, the Lord spoke to me. And God said, I want to do something great in your church. I say, how? God said, just initiate a vigil in your church and I will do what I want to do. Or night prayers. Our people prefer night prayers. Night prayers. So I quickly ran to my brother and told him that this is what the Lord says. And do you know that when the Lord said it, the Lord gave me 12 names. I say, what should I do with the 12 names? And the Lord says, I have already spoken with those people concerning what I am going to do in your church. And so I typed a message and sent to the 12 person that the Lord told me. And you will imagine the kind of response, almost the same response. So we went to the resident pastor. We told him that we want to begin night prayers in the church. And our pastor consented. He told us that we should start it, but they will watch and see, and that we should just start it when the elders see, look at it, and there is no problem, they will convert it to be a consistory prayer. And so we started. In less than 1 month, God began the work he wanted to do in our church. One of our members, who is an engineer, had fixed ceiling fans in the church, but the lights were connected to was not enough to power the ceiling fans. And so our pastor and elder sat and discussed that, budgeted $400,000 to get a generator that will power the entire church. So there was this day we came for prayers. So in less than 10 minutes, then power holdings took their light. But there was light, for those of you who are conversant with that area, there's a filling station and there's another hotel behind us. In those two places, there were lights, but there was no light in our church. So I told the 12 people that this is where we need light. It is not there, because in the filling station at night, there is nobody. And I want to tell you that in less than 2 weeks, somebody called our pastor. And when our pastor picked, he introduced himself that I am so person. God says I shall come and give you light in your church. And so he asked the pastor whether he is around. So very quickly the man came. Pastor called the elders. They met immediately. The man came and says, I am your neighbor here, but you don't know me. I'm the owner of this business center. I want to come and give you light. So we were afraid, because the man, his light is connected to, is it National Grid or something, or 33 kV? So we were afraid, because to connect to that, it involves a lot of money. So when the pastor asked, he said, no, I have come to give you light for free. But we begged him, pastor, and the elder said, no, you have done much for us. To connect to that, we know how much to connect to that. So let's just give you a little appreciation. The man said, no. My brethren, that is how in less than 1 month we have light in our church. That, in fact, it's too much. That is just one. As we continue to pray, to have our vigils, a lot of that attracted a lot of people from the Pentecostal cycle, the Catholics, and all of that. In every vigil, we used to record not less than 300 people. And God began to do a lot of things in the vigil. There was this day that we're praying and a certain woman ran to the church and fell in the midst of people. And she was crying. I don't even know the woman. So we asked her, what's her problem? The woman says she has married for 8 to 9 years and she had no child. And the husband's people are prevailing on the husbands to divorce her. The husband has been patient, but of late, he has consented to take her to her father's place. We also helped her to cry, but we were crying unto the Lord. We challenged God in that meeting. We told God, we reminded God of what he says in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 8. When the people asked Jesus about divorce, he says, in the beginning it was not so. Marriage is not meant to be divorced. And if you read Psalm 127 and verse 3 down, the Bible says that children are gift from God. So we challenged God that if truly you are God that gives children and the one that doesn't want divorce, then give this woman children. Brethren, I want to tell you that in less than 2 months, the woman conceived. But unfortunately, 2 months after, she lost the pregnancy. So we continue to pray. So a few months after, the woman took in again. And so we're so close to her, praying with her every week, praying with her every week until the woman gave birth to a bouncing baby boy. So in January of 2018, the woman came to the church crying with the bouncing baby boy, with the husband who doesn't go to church, giving thanks, returning thanks to God. And so she was just crying, but the husband was the one that gave the thanksgiving. And he promised right there that he is going to start fellowshipping with us in our church. Right now, he's in catechism. And the Lord continued. I want to tell you that starting from that year to 2019, each year we have couples who had no issue, who had lived for some years without issue, having children at least two. So in 2019, we cried unto the Lord that God expands our chances of having children for you. And we asked for seven. And we asked for seven. I want to tell you that already we have five. Already we have five that God has visited. And already they have their children. So many things began to happen. Brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ, the essence of this testimony is to give us an understanding into what God can do when he gets a man. Are you ready? As Mary says, I am ready to serve. Have you also come to a point where God can begin to unfold his plans to you? I ask you again, are you ready to take up the challenge? The Bible says that as soon as Elisha died, bands of Moabites. The Moabite troops invaded the land again. They usually come at the time of harvest. The real problem of Israelites at that time was Syria and not Moabite. Not Moab. I suppose they were expecting something to come from Syria. Why they were expecting something from Syria? It was not the Syrians again. The Moabites came from behind, unexpected. So as you are ready for this battle, expect arrows from all angles. The Bible says, these people came at the time the Israelites were going to bury one of them. So on sighting the Moabite troops, they decided to dump the body in the sepulcher of Elisha. And the Bible says, the man, when he touched the bones of Elijah, he jumped out immediately. That was a serious miracle. I want you to take your time and check in the Old Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, you will see that before this man resurrected, it was just two persons that were raised from the dead. The master of Elijah raised the son of the of a widow of Zarephath. Elisha also raised the son of the Shunammite woman. These were just two persons that were raised in the Old Testament. So resurrection in the Old Testament was not common at all. So these people seeing the man coming back to life, it was something so surprising. That gave those people confidence that the God of Elijah is still alive. The Bible says when the dead man gets in contact with the bones of Elijah, then he jumped up. When they saw that, they have more confidence that the God of Elijah is still alive, is still with them. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you learn from here? This simply means God's children who avail themselves for God to use them can bring to life people who are dead spiritually. Children of God who carries the life of Jesus will always affect lives that are dead spiritually. If you read the book of Acts of Apostles chapter 11 and verse 27 and 28, the Bible says that was where brethren were first called Christians. Believers were first called Christians. When they had lived in Jerusalem and wouldn't want to go out to spread the gospel, the Bible says that then persecution came and so they were dispersed to other parts of the nation. So wherever they went, especially those ones found in Antioch of Syria, people watch their lives. People see how they talk. People look at their dressing. People watch how they operate and they interact with others. And they concluded that these people must be people of that man we killed, Jesus. And so they started mocking them that they are Christian, Christ people. So Christianity is not about the church you attend. It's a life. It's a life. And it's the life of Jesus. Once you possess that life, wherever you go, whatever you are doing, amidst dead people, lives will begin to resurrect. Dead people will begin to resurrect. Those who don't know who Jesus is will be coming to you to seeking to know who you are and what is the source of your life. It's time. I don't know. We call ourselves Christians today. But right in the church, sometimes you come to sit on the bench, and as you ask another sister or another brother to shift so that you will sit, if some are polite, they will ask you to go inside. Right inside the church, you see them demonstrating the life of flesh. The Bible says that when the dead man came in contact with the bones of Elisha, then he came back to life. I suppose he joined his people and went back home. What have you done to people around you? How are you affecting your friends, your mates, your family, and people around you? Some of us working in offices go to offices that the occupants of them are Christians. You will see what goes on. One of our big brother once said, he's now a politician anyway. And he was discussing with us and he said, our pastors that are politicking usually said, this here is politics. So don't take Jesus in here. So it is to so many people where they are working and where they are doing businesses. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, are you ready so that God can hand over this burden to you and we also go to take his rest? Remember that the book of Psalms 115 and verse 16, the Bible says, heaven of heavens belongs to God, but the earth he has given it to the sons of men. So whatever that concerns the earth, God is counting on you to accomplish it. Are you ready? Having received all the strategies, are you now ready to serve? Brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says in verse 25 that Joash had victory over Syria. He was able to capture the three cities that were captured by the kings of Syria. But the bad news is, he only captured three cities that actually belonged to Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben. But the desire of God was for them to capture Syria completely. God is always faithful. Our victory cannot be more than our burden and capacity. If we ask and trust God for a complete victory, the Lord is faithful to grant our heart's desires. But if you ask a little, little will be given to you also. When you look at the situation of your church, maybe your local church, not the entire NKST, what do you ask God for? I hear some generals of God asking God to give them their whole country. Say, give us this land. What are you asking the Lord to do, to give you? As you now said, you are ready to serve. I encourage you to ask so big so that you can achieve much for him. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we are rising from this conference, much is expected of you to do for the Lord. Will you be faithful to work that others may come to know the truth, to know Jesus? I want you to remember, his presence is always with you, with us, to succeed. Remember yesterday, Elisha decided to put his hand on the hands of the king Joash. Jesus Christ promised that I am going to be with you at all times. The one who has sent us, he is with us. He is ready to help us at all times. As we prepared our hearts to go and work for him, it is indeed my desire that you will not look at the messenger, but you will look at the one who has sent the message. He is able to do all things. The Lord of salvation, help us in Jesus' name.
Shall we pray? Blessed Lord, we adore you for who you are. We thank you for what you have done to us, disclosing the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ for us to know him as our Savior, also giving us the grace of perseverance. We thank you, Father, that in the midst of evil in our land, multiplying in alarming state, you are forcefully raising soldiers for your kingdom, recruiting men, that nothing will stop the revival you have started in the land. Thank you, blessed Lord, that even this time you have called us, you have touched us, you have charged us to go and make exploit for your kingdom here on planet Earth. Thank you, Lord of hosts, that nothing will stop you from serving us in our Lord Jesus Christ, and you can never compromise your stand. We believe that many everlasting and almighty God will be saved as we convince that we go with this burden. Thank you, blessed Lord, as we believe that there will be result, because you are not looking for men that we work and come out with result, but people that we make themselves available, that you can pass through them and, Lord, accomplish that which you intend to accomplish. Receive honor and glory, as we believe that you have touched us, and we believe that you also touch your children in every aspect of their lives as well. You are not just concerned about our salvation, you also concerned about our needs. And so, Lord, you will provide for them. Thank you for the vessel you have used. Give him the grace, O Lord, to continue to speak, continue to represent you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.